You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Thanks to LCS, North America's official League of Legends professional league, for supporting the instance today. The 2020 season kicks off January 25th at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on watch.lolesports.com. There's never been a better time to become an LCS fan.
The World of Warcraft podcast, so you don't have to. This is the instance.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the instance. This is the instance episode. Where is it? 586 for January 24th, 2020. I'm Scott Johnson, joined today by Garrett Weinzierl in Florida, America. Hello.
Hello, Scott Johnson.
Hello.
Happy Friday.
Hello. Happy Friday to you as well, as well as Patrick Beja, who is here from not Helsinki, but a place sort of near there. You're part of Finland now. Let's just admit it.
Exactly. Yeah. I am part of Finland. When you see Finland on a map, mm-hmm. a little tiny part of it is me.
Oh, wow. So he was saying before the show that he's an official, you're like a resident now, like a legal resident of Finland.
Yes.
Was that hard?
I have a Finnish social security number.
Oh, nice. Oh, that's how they track you. Yeah. That's how they get you.
Oh, yeah. I am got. I am got. Begotten
yeah.
by Finland.
Well, we live in a society.
See what we do for love.
We do everything for love, and then we do a lot more for the show, and we're glad to be here. So I have some exciting stuff for today to begin with, and that is to let people know that we're giving away, I believe it's 3 codes. I'll have to make sure that's the total, but whatever total amount they gave me, we're giving away copies of Warcraft 3 Reforged, courtesy of Blizzard. Big thanks to Blizzard for tossing those codes my way and letting us give those away. Now, last night I kind of put a sneak peek of the link up on Twitter. It doesn't give them an advantage. It just meant they got early access to it. So if you're listening to the show live right now or you're checking the show out later, you have until Sunday. I'll do it late Sunday evening where I do the actual awarding of stuff. So we're recording this on a Friday morning. Plenty of time to get the show, hear this link, and head over to it and sign up for your chance to win a free copy.
Are you
of
doing
Reforged.
One of those things where people have to like follow you on Twitter and
no.
retweet and
none of that? Instagram, they don't even have to. They don't even have to give me their real name. They can. No. All I need is a legit email address so I can let them know if they won, and that's it. There's an optional slot for Twitter if they want me to give them a shout out or if they want.
You can't win if we don't know where to send you what you want.
Exactly. This is the least amount of information and it won't be kept.
The most important part about winning something is being able to get what you want.
Right. We know how to take the reservation. We just don't know how to keep the reservation. Seinfeld, 1993.
We do sell all of your information though to Nazoth.
That's right.
All of it to Nazoth.
Yeah. All hail Nazoth.
You will get tentacle covered envelopes in your mail.
Oh, that's one other reason to sign up.
Yeah. I have a tentacle hanging out right now. Honestly, that's how Nazothian my life is right now.
I'm sorry.
That's something else. Sorry. I'll tuck that away. Anyway, so Warcraft 3 Reforged, as people know, is coming out next Tuesday officially.
I mean, your name is Johnson.
So. It's a fair point. And if you're, so some of you may have already pre-ordered, a lot of you are just going to get it on day of if you're getting it, but now you can win one, a copy for yourself, again, thanks to Blizzard. So here's the link, theinstance.net/Warcraft, super easy, theinstance.net/Warcraft, also coincidentally, frogpants.com/Warcraft will get you the exact same page, but it's the instance, theinstance.net/Warcraft.
Not an instance.
No, the instance. There is only one. theinstance.net/Warcraft.
We are not nearly fully featured as World of Warcraft itself, there where there are many instances.
There are quite a few instances. We are but one, but this one is mine. Anyway, go and sign up and be a part of the random drawing, which I will do on Sunday, and award lucky members of you, three or four of you. I can't remember if it's four codes or three. I think it's maybe four, but whatever it is.
An undisclosed number of you will win Warcraft 3.
There you have it.
And wait, what's the link again?
It's theinstance.net/Warcraft. You got that?
Right.
You got it? You good?
Excellent.
All right. I'll remind you at the end of the show again, but let's dive into some things. I have had a rough week in terms of time. I haven't had time to do anything I wanted to do, to be honest. I've been having a war with YouTube, and that war appears to be over.
Oh, that's still not resolved?
No, it is now. Everyone's laid down their weapons.
Congratulations on that, by the way, Scott, because that is that I can only imagine how maddening that entire fiasco
was. It was ridiculous, and I've talked about it at length on other shows, so I won't bore people with it here. Okay. But the upshot is, if YouTube favors people making complaints more than they do the people who might actually have the right to do a thing, and they will, if somebody just pipes up and goes, hey, they did something, they have a thing that's copyrighted, YouTube will say, okay, we'll shut them down, and then they have to prove their innocence, kind of basically is how it goes. And some of that innocence proving goes all the way to court, so it's a huge nightmare, plus you're talking with robots mostly, there's no people involved, and it just sucks. I'll tell you, though, after a couple of weeks of being out of it, I finally found, so there turned out to be a listener who's married, or no, who has a friend who has another friend who's married to a guy that worked at Google. That's how I got in.
Oh, wow. That's how you got it. So it didn't go through the, you didn't manage to get it resolved just through the actual proper channels you had available to you. That's horrible.
Right. It turns out personal human relationships still the best way to get things done in this world. And not.
Well, I hope anyone else having a similar issue can find a personal human relationship with someone.
Yeah, I agree, and I don't like that's their chances. Terrible. It turns out I was ready to just say, well, I guess that's it. Goodbye, my 2005 and on YouTube channel that I've had forever, with 20,000 followers, and then all these people that expect to get shows that way and whatever. I guess goodbye. See you later. I'll figure something out. And then right as I was at that point, I talked to a person, and they said, yeah.
I'm only laughing because I'm imagining Emo Scott just like defeated in the corner listening to like
Emo Rap. Plan. I'll listen to Emo Rap while I'm sad. How about that? Emo Rap is my thing right now, so that's what I'll do. Anyway, so.
I've heard.
Yeah, so you should have seen how. Sorry, this is a side note, but I was so bummed out. I heard that new Eminem album and that Juice WRLD dude's on a couple of tracks, and I
was stuck on the road. I don't usually leave my house very often, but I was actually stuck in traffic this week.
Yeah.
And on your recommendation, listen to the entire album.
Very good. I like it a lot. I also I've always liked Eminem, and yeah, he's controversial, but whatever. But the point is,
I love that this is what we're talking about in the news segment, by the way.
Yeah, we're really getting to it here. But I was listening to that.
He is a lover of Nazoth, so it's completely relevant.
Oh, of course, yeah, no, Eminem is a completely adherent to Nazoth's plan. It's fine. So anyway, I was listening to that, and then that Juice WRLD guy sang or did his little bit, and I went, oh, I've never heard that guy before, because I hadn't. And I thought, isn't he great? And then I get on TMS talking about it, and the whole chat room's like, he died. He's dead. He just died. He died like a month ago. I'm like, what? He's 22 years old, or he's 21 years old. How does he die? Why is he dead? So now I got this whole, my whole rap world, which is limited at best, is all in tatters because I found out that guy died. Anyway, why was I telling you that story? I don't even know why. What was that about? Where was I going?
Somehow
there
got on the subject of listening to Eminem. Anyways.
Okay.
Because I said I imagine Emo Scott because you were saying how defeated you were.
Oh, right.
Doing
there you
YouTube
go.
Stuff. That's how we got there, everybody. Welcome to our stream of consciousness.
I appreciate the recap, though. Got me back on track. So let's talk about our lack of time or time in 8.3. So I have had no time to do anything over there. And to be honest, people want us to be honest. We're hosts of a show that have been around for a long time. I've been doing this thing since freaking 2006. By the way, I found the original announcement of the instance from Extra Life Radio in 2005.
Is it playable? Is it an audio thing?
It is, but I got to excise it. But it's me and Andrew announcing the plan. And we're doing it so nonchalantly that it's almost embarrassing. But anyway.
Oh, dude. I mean, we still got a ways until an anniversary episode. I want to do an episode of The Instance with like all your old segments.
Wouldn't it be fun to have one with not just that, but let's just get the whole crowd.
Randy cleared to come on.
Yeah, get everybody in here. Why not?
It'll be a good time.
You're in Sarasota. You can find out whatever the hell happened to Andrew.
I'm going to go knock on Andrew's door. I don't know where he lives or if he's even still in the state, let alone the same city.
Yeah, that guy went dark, but someplace he is. And then who else?
Send in your quick fire questions.
Yeah. Let's say we can have some of the previous co-hosts come on. It'll be fine. A few of them. Oh, Metz. We get Metz in on. We're not bringing Schilling back on. I'm sorry. I still get your Christmas cards, Kurt, but things are weird now. Let's see. What else?
That's the one you say no to.
Yeah. Anyway.
Someone has been listening for a very long time. I am enjoying this.
Well, it's a fun look back, isn't it? It's a real joy.
Some deep cuts right here.
But anyway, back to my point about being honest. It wasn't that rough of a week because even though I was so busy and I couldn't play even a lot of games in general, I wasn't that worked up about missing 8.3 time because I got to be honest, I'm not that stoked about it. And I know that that's going to come off as, Scott, what do you mean? To some people, and other people are going to say, yeah, this patch is no good. We can't wait for the next expansion. I am kind of in that mode of, just bring me Shadowlands. Let's just get going, man. You know, let's go to a new thing. Let's do a bunch of stuff. And part of the problem, too, is this N'Zoth stuff and the 8.3 stuff in general just has no resemblance of BFA to me. And
that's what I was going to say. I just thought about it now when you were saying it doesn't really appeal to me. I'm realizing it's kind of the same for me because even though he's been very much hinted at for, you know, the entirety of the expansion, it does feel like it's so, not out of nowhere, but it's so different from what the expansion has been sold on. Feels like it's not well introduced enough.
Yeah.
I have a lot of thoughts.
No? Go for it, Garrett. Go.
Yeah.
Go for it.
I forced myself not to talk about this because I was talking with Taliesin about this week, and we started to kind of get into this conversation, and a point I started to bring up, and I was like, we're already 90 minutes into the show, I need to pull away, was that I think BFA tried to tell too many stories. N'Zoth has definitely been there the entire time, and I really like what they've done with the lead up to N'Zoth quite a bit. And I don't want to bruise the bridge of my nose too much by pushing up my glasses, but I'm thinking it may be a little too subtle for some people. I rather enjoyed the subtlety.
He was there, but they were, you know, constantly kind of, maybe I, you know, watched Taliesin and Evitel too much, but they were constantly going like, oh, no, it's not really about N'Zoth. And I don't know. It feels like it wasn't, he was there. I'm not saying he wasn't. But it just
they didn't beat you over the head with it like they did Sylvanas, which was as subtle as stepping on a nail.
Mm. Yeah, that was a pretty extreme difference there, for sure.
I think in a way I'm probably building the Jenga tower of my own bias because I clearly did not like the Sylvanas stuff. I hated it. Mm. It really rubbed me the wrong way, this expansion. And by comparison, I really love how they've done all the N'Zoth stuff, because I think it's been subtle, it's been awesome, it's been creepy in the background, whisper, old god, wonderfulness. So take that as it will. But I don't think you're wrong. Like I kind of agree with you. Like aesthetically speaking, it's kind of wild how different all of this is. Like, but at the same time, I mean, this is called the Battle for Azeroth, and it is taking us to different corners of the world that we already know.
Right. In a way, the name has become not ironic, but it has a double meaning now. Originally, the Battle for Azeroth was our typical Horde versus Alliance. Everybody's fighting all the time. This is a age-old conflict, and we're kind of back to the basics.
Yeah.
But now we're actually battling for Azeroth again.
To get a little cheeky, I think it is on brand because it is a mess, which I think this kind of whole expansion is, in a certain way. I've had a lot of fun with this mess. I'm not drinking the YouTube Kool-Aid, but like it is all over the place. I think it's been all over the place since the very beginning. It's like, well, what are we focusing on? Are we focusing on Jaina and Kul Tiras? Are we focusing on Talandri and Zandalar? Or are we focusing on Talandri? Sylvanas going off the deep end? Oh, wait, also there's an old god. Like it is all over the place. There's a lot of threads being pulled all at the same time.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Certainly, you know, maybe, you know, Sylvanas's war and what was happening in Kul Tiras and Zul'Dazar kind of gelled a little bit better, even though freaking like Sylvanas didn't show up, didn't step foot on Zul'Dazar for a really long time in his expansion.
That's true.
It feels like it's a confluence of many different things that are a little bit, I don't want to say disappointing, but mild. Everything is mild. Like, yeah, there's Sylvanas and she does weird things, but it's not explored. And all of a sudden turns out, oh, she was actually working with the jailer and that's why she was acting crazy. Okay. But it doesn't, it's not satisfying.
And you know, the Zoth really,
thing has been there for a long time. I mean, the fantasy of the expansion, I really like Battle for Azeroth. We have to fight to get our planet, you know, defended or something. Like either focus on the Horde and Alliance having to battle to gain dominion over the planet, or focus on saving the planet for an outside force. But having mixed the two, and in the beginning it was this meaning and now it's the other meaning, feels like they've diluted, they've mellowed the entire thing. And I'm not sure what Battle for Azeroth is anymore. Kind of. I'm overdoing it a little bit, but that's the feeling that I think means is why I don't want to, I'm not rushing to play 8.3, I guess.
Did you guys ever see the movie, the Robert Rodriguez movie, Dusk Till Dawn? Has anyone seen that movie?
Oh, yes, only about 17,000 times.
So this... So
it's a Robert Rodriguez / Quentin Tarantino movie.
It is, that's correct. They co-wrote it also.
You can see where the seam is.
Yeah, you know... You're not wrong. You can see the line very clearly. And that is what I wanted to get at. I feel a little bit like Battle for Azeroth went bar full of vampires with N'Zoth.
Okay, maybe that's why I like it, because that's my favorite part of From Dusk Till Dawn. I mean, is when you go, oh, and this is where Robert Rodriguez took over.
Right, it's like a sense of like you were doing something else and you were going down a road and you thought you were watching something else, and then suddenly out of nowhere it's something entirely different. And that's not entirely true that it's entirely different, right? But
which
it's just totally, I mean, that can be great.
Sure. It's just that it doesn't feel great in this case. That switcheroo can feel awesome, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It could be awesome in a game, but it just I don't feel like it's executed in a satisfactory way. It feels like that wasn't the intent. Right. There isn't a big reveal thing that works successfully where you're like, oh my god, that's where they were getting to the entire time. It's like, oh right, we knew it was N'Zoth anyway, so it's not a big reveal.
Yeah,
and like we knew the expansion was N'Zoth anyway, and I think they were like, oh, we don't want to make it that N'Zoth is influencing what's her face, evil death lady, damn it, brain fart.
Evil Death Lady. Is it Sylvanas?
Evil.
Yes, Sylvanas.
Oh, Sylvanas.
Sylvanas. That's Evil Death Lady, right? And they didn't want to do that because they were like, oh, that would be too obvious. But then the Sylvanas thing, it comes out of nowhere in a way that is not satisfying. And the N'Zoth thing is also feels weird. It's.
Yeah. It's just a shift.
It doesn't feel like the switcheroo is working.
One minute you're drinking whiskey off of Salma Hayek's leg, and the next minute Cheech Marin vampire is chasing you down the hall.
Boy, one of those things I am much more interested in. Damn it, now I'm just thinking of Salma Hayek. I agree with you, Patrick. I think you're right. The difference is I am playing 8.3 and it's fun.
Yeah.
I'm having a good time, even though like I'm having a wild experience with this in that I don't really disagree with a lot of the criticism. In fact, I agree with a lot of the criticism. I think it's a little wonky. I'm totally on board with you, Patrick. I think, you know, whether or not we agree or disagree on like like finer minutiae or little tiny details about why we like or do not like this. I do think at the end of the day, you're right. Like the different stories they tried to tell in BFA are very insular and they don't really have anything to do with one another in what I think is an interesting or a satisfying fashion.
But the game is still fun for you, still which fun. Is what matters.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm playing WoW, man. Like, and I got to walk back some of my comments from last week. It's not as alt unfriendly as I had initially thought. Mm. If you're not trying to like mid-max as hard as humanly possible, which I am not trying to do because I'm not currently actively raiding. So I'm actually I'm having some fun, a lot of fun with my alts at the moment. And just kind of enjoying the patch. But
well, Garrett, I've heard from multiple people, and they've all sort of echoed the same thing, that along with a couple of features happened earlier in this expansion, or was it in this expansion, or maybe as the expansion hit, whatever it was, where all of them, where the world was now scalable, kind of depending on where, what level you were, you could go to Pandaria and level, 20 through 30 or whatever. I can't remember how it worked, but whatever it is, you can go do that. And then pairing that with a late breaking thing, which was the what's it called? Party, what they call it? Party mode, not party mode.
What are you talking about?
Party
mode sounds great.
Party though. Scaling. What's it called? Where your buddy who's 40 and you who's 20 can just go roll together. They have the name for it. It's a recent party sync. That's it.
It sounds like something Apple came up with Ford.
It does sound like part. It sounds like a mode or like a feature on a phone.
Oh God, you know what? It's freaking Ford, man. Like they've got like the Ford sync all over the damn cars.
Yeah, that's true. It's very car sounding, very party sync. Hey, all four of your cars, if you're parked in the same parking lot, can listen to the same iPod. But anyway, the point is, party sync combined with the scaling of those zones has made it so alt leveling is some say the very favorite thing in the game right now. Like that is like, it's more fun than it's ever been. So,
I mean, you can just level up pretty damn fast right now, which is what I did. I went and dusted off my, my original horde main, my paladin, who was sitting at like 111, and in like a day and a half, I was maxed out and, already getting gear. So,
I mean, part of me, that's what I want to do. Like if you say to me, hey Scott,
you should, what do you want? I think it's a really good time to do it. I'm having a blast. And the thing is though, then the Shadowlands pre-patch is going to hit and you're going to be able to go do like a whole new character
right
in an expansion of your choice, which is fine. I think that's all fine.
Yeah, that is fine.
Have even the remotest alt itch right now, I think it's a good time to scratch it.
I've got a small itch that I wasn't sure what it was, and maybe that's what it is, because the more we talk about it,
you should see a doctor, and then you should play some World of Warcraft.
I'm ready to play, I think. I'm ready to do that. I think the pressure to go all in on Nazoth had made me feel tired and didn't make me want to do it. I just couldn't get them. I can't get the motivation going. But the idea of going and leveling some alts in a new and different way and doing it with some friends who are in different places than I am, yet we can all party sync together. That sounds fun. So I think I might do that.
But that has very little to do with 8.3, I think.
That's my whole point. It's got nothing to do with 8.3. Yeah.
And well, I think it does, because you can, like, once you hit max, you can get into it very quickly. And you can get into what 8.3 is doing very fast.
Yeah. I wonder if it's not more about, because there have been, late expansion patches that were a little bit underwhelming before. But I think for Scott and myself, we played through the game when it was first released, but then we kind of let go a little bit. Mm-hmm. I played 8.1 a bit, I think, but I definitely did not play a lot of 8.2. And I wonder if it's not like when you haven't been following the expansion to begin with, it's very rare that a late patch will drag you back in.
I agree with you. In my case, it was a little different because I actually went super hard. What was the patch? Was it 8.2?
Oh, the Mechanomen. Yeah, that's
it. Yeah, I went real hard, real fast, and was with it and in it hardcore for a while there. Right after Classic launched, I just, for whatever, remember, I people. Remember
yeah, that and, right, and right, I'm, right, right, yeah. Again, I'm calling it now. Because that was what, a month after 8.2 launched? Yeah. I think a month after 8.3, Scott, you'll be like, oh, hey, this is kind of fun.
Yeah. And then all the controversies kind of took the wind out of me. And that's kind of when things sort of slowed. And now I need to get in there and play what I love about Warcraft. And for me, what I love about Warcraft is good old fashioned leveling, progression, questing. I love that. I love doing that. That's my favorite thing.
I think you should give it a chance at the very least. Give it a shot, because that's kind of what it's doing well in my mind, is just kind of the quest and gear loop is actually pretty damn fun. And corrupted gear, I think, is insanely awesome, and people aren't talking enough about it. They're just complaining about a raid cinematic.
Oh, and, yeah. Those were... I saw those because, you know, we do this show, so I got to see that sort of stuff. I don't want to spoil anything, but they're kind of... I mean, they're pretty, you know, there's nothing.
They're not that great. The complaints are valid. Kind of what I'm saying is, like, I am having this amazing experience of I agree with all of the criticism and I'm having a good time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fair to do.
So for those who haven't seen them, they're the super short ones. And I've heard, I can't remember whom, but someone saying that there's also another part, which is in game, that shows up with your character because it's in game.
Yeah.
And that's why the pre-rendered one is smaller. Is that the case, or was I
there's probably more I'm sure there's more there, to it.
There's a lot there, and like I promise this isn't a shill of a plug. It's just we talked about this for 90 minutes. I talked about this for 90 minutes with Taliesin this week. So I would highly recommend checking that out. But also
WoW Killer, you have to say.
Yeah,
WoW Killer.
You know what? Remind me after the show, just real quick, a side note. Remind me after the show to get with Taliesin and tell him he needs to give us equal pimping and billing on his show. We need as much promotion on their show as we're giving him on ours for free.
I'm just, all right, like, it's ahead. More like I'm trying not to just reiterate everything that was talked about there, but like to recap, like the history of it, which we didn't get into. It's like people were mad about this, like they were pre-mad. Because this is what everyone was kind of freaking out about on the PTR, mm-hmm. because there wasn't like a pre-rendered cinematic. There was just the in-game with your character model. And those ones are always, they don't look as nice because it can't, because they're not pre-rendered.
Right.
And so people were freaking out about that. And there was this back and forth in the community of, oh no, the cinematics just aren't in the game yet. And so, you know, 8.3 launches, people get into Nyalotha. There are two pre-rendered cinematics, but they're super short and they don't really, like, without getting into what's actually in them, there's just not that much. We're kind of come to expect really meaty, chewy lore, mm-hmm. from our end of raid, end of expansion pre-rendered cinematics, right? That we, hell, going back to like, I mean, good lord, Wrath of Lich King ended with one, mm-hmm. Cataclysm ended with one. The one at the end of Warlords was kind of weird and cheesy. But
well, still... I'm old enough to remember feeling this exact same way at the end of Warlords, by the way. Like, I feel like we are at repeating history, and it may be okay because Legion came after Warlords and we loved Legion. So I get this same sinking feeling that we are at the end of a thing that's like Warlords. All hands are on deck on Shadowlands, and that thing's going to blow our minds. That's how I feel. I could be wrong, but it's just so reminiscent, dude. I'm having major deja vu right now.
I mean, that's kind of how I'm feeling at the end. I think BFA is a like a better Warlords. It's very similar, but yep. I'm having a better time with it.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it is. I mean, if you're going to call this a down expansion, this is still better than.
Well, it definitely is. I mean, I don't. I'm not arguing that.
Yeah.
I'm just mentioning that I'm enjoying playing the
game. Two things can be true at once. One, it's got its issues and we can be critical of it. And two, I'm flipping you off. Two, this finger.
I'm sorry about mentioning Wild Killer so many times, Scott.
No, it's just, I'm sorry. I realized that I was putting the other finger down and that makes it a bird. And I don't know why I did that. But anyway, number two, you're enjoying it. That can be, both those things can be true at once. It's fine. It's totally fine.
Right. It's what it comes down to. Right. So... All right. I was trying to make the cinematic thing a short blip on the conversation, but we ended up kind of digging into it. But whatever,
it's a thing.
Well, it's been a major point of contention for the past few days. I feel, mm-hmm. everyone is complaining about this and other things very vocally. So I think it's fair to address it.
It does feel a little bit like You know what it is? I got it. The perfect. There's been enough time since Game of Thrones season last season ended, right? I can talk about it, not in detail, but I can make a reference here, right?
Sure.
Let's call Nazoth.
Sure.
Let's call Nazoth the ever-present, always threatening, ever in the back of your mind, Night King. All right.
Okay.
And then let's call Rathion. Let's call
Where are you going with
Let's
this?
Call him a young girl with a dagger.
Oh, okay. All right. I am.
Do you see where I'm going with this?
I love that you're being this subtle for the thing that you're describing incredibly precisely.
Because you got this thing that's just like over your head for years, and you're like, he's going to finally reveal himself, and all will be done. And then, he's gone. That's the end of that. Nice job, Dagger.
But you didn't answer, I think, my question, Garrett. Does the in-game cinematic with your in-game model, does it make it better? Or is it just nothing, not a big deal? And so it's not really, it doesn't change the judgment of the
I think the most folks aren't wowed by those.
Okay.
All right. If I'm going to talk in generalizations, which I don't know how else to have this discussion without doing so. I think most people, and I count myself among them, are just not wowed by those types of cinematics. It is like, it's fine. I understand you want to show the player character, but there's severe limitations that come with that. And it just comes off less exciting.
Yeah. I'm going to agree with that. I think you know what? They've made some really incredible in-game cinematics. But none of them are the real time ones where your character is shown. They're all janky. They all feel weird. They're fine, and they add to things. But I don't think that's going to save this. What I had really hoped when I started seeing stuff pop on my news feeds that hey, they put out the final cinematic, the final BFA cinematic from the raid, and I went, they did another fully rendered thing to sort of cap this off. Sweet. Like when Sarfang had his little moment there, like all that. We're gonna do that.
So you thought it was like a fully pre-rendered, not even partially in-game engine thing.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And I went and saw it and went, oh, that's not what this is. And then after I ended, I went, oh, that's no good.
That's not what this is.
No, that's not what this is at all. You know, and then I sadly walked away.
That makes me think of the ending of Endgame when Thor is like, of course. Mm-hmm. And yeah, exactly. That's a little bit like that. Oh, that's not what this is. Oh, that's not what this is. And the disappointment in your voice, the subtle sound of the light turning off in your eyes as you realize that's not what this is.
But also, back to my Game of Thrones reference, that was supposed to be the great and ultimate battle. We had been led to believe that this is going to be the end in a single moment, girl and a dagger. Done.
I didn't dislike that thing, but
I kind of did. Sure. I kind of did and didn't, because on the one hand, I liked how badass it was that it happened and all that, but I also just thought, well, that's it. We're done with him. That's it. That's all this was for all these years, and you just have him. I mean, you know, and that is a very George R. R. Martin thing to do, by the way. So I'm not actually, you know, I'm not surprised, but that bummed me out a little bit because
the surprise will come when he doesn't do it like that in his books.
Right.
That will be a real surprise.
Yeah, the real surprise is if that book ever comes out. But anyway, it's fine. It's okay, you guys. We'll move on. It'll be good. The next expansion, I have really high hopes for. And I think I am going to go just level some alts and just, you know, relax. I'm just going to relax and go play.
So do you think, how likely do you think it is that they were like, okay, screw it. We just, you know, this was a bad one. Let's just do the minimum amount, possible amount of work on it, put it in the drawer, never think about it again, and let's focus on the...
I mean, this is extreme speculation, right? Like,
yes, absolutely. And I don't believe that's the case.
Unless you were about to tell me that you, Patrick Beja, ex-Blizzard employee, have some inside information you're willing to tell.
Well, open your ears, Garrett, because I have some news for you. I do not actually have.
Yeah. So. It sure feels like some people may have been moved on to Shadowlands before BFA was done baking.
Oh, 100% sure. I don't have any question about this. It is speculation, sure, but I don't. I'd be willing to put money on it. And it's just, to me, again, it's like Warlords. You just knew it. You knew they were moving on to other stuff. And you even had heard kind of through rumblings that, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, a lot of that kind of came out after the fact, right? That a decent amount of the team had just been like, all right, go to Legion. Mm-hmm. We're done with this.
Yeah. No, it's it's absolutely true. It's and again, I think having been through that before, that was really concerning the first time for me. Because I thought, what are we doing? This WoW never goes this weird at the end of the thing. What are we doing? But then it produced Legion, and I loved Legion. So part of me thinks this is actually
You're
good.
You're going to be so disappointed if Shadowlands is not of Legion caliber.
I mean, yes,
which
I will.
Which honestly seems impossible to do. Legion was so incredible. It's like, again, the best expansion we've ever seen. In WoW, I don't think it's fair to expect that again.
Yeah, but I would have said that with the Wrath. I would have said that with Pandaria because I love that one too. Like I feel like they do better themselves,
yeah,
but they have these dips, and this is a dip for sure. If Shadowlands comes around and I'm not super blown away in the way that I was with Legion, then I'll be real bummed. That'll be a real bummer. But I'm having so much deja vu about this. I just think that's where we're headed.
Do we have a date for Shadowlands or window?
No. Is it like fall, don't
end
we?
Of 2020 end of- or have they not said
I guess
anything?
They haven't said, have they? Have
okay.
they said?
I thought the pre-order page said end of 2020. Let me pull it up.
Okay. If they do a pre-order, I think they do have to have a date.
It says coming 2020 on
2020.
The pre-order page.
Man, 2020 is going to be busy, especially the end now that everything has been delayed.
Yeah, ever since they shoved Cyberpunk to the end of the year, I'm worried about all other video games that exist in the end of the year. and so I am very concerned about that. But also, we expect it. This will be Blizzard's only full release game this year unless they do something to surprise us with Overwatch 2. I think this will be it, right? There's no other planned releases. Well, other than, we're getting Warcraft Reforged, but that's not really the same. I think it is. It'll be like fall. It'll be right around BlizzCon, either right before or after. Probably after. They always do that right after, usually. Could be in the summer. I don't know. August.
I would hope right before. I'd like to get on the backside of it.
Yeah, right, you want to ride that hype right into the.
Because that's kind of like what like Legion. I hope they kind of take more pages out of the Legion playbook than the BFA one, because the Legion rollout I really enjoyed because it came out right before BlizzCon, and then we went and they gave us kind of a roadmap of Legion. They were like, hey, here's the next raid. And I think they also at the same BlizzCon dropped that, like, hey, we're going to Argus. Like, we're telling you now.
Yeah.
By the end of this expansion, we're going to Argus. I think that would have helped BFA a lot. Like, if they had just informed us where the hell we were going instead of playing coy with literally every corner and crevice of this expansion.
Yeah.
Like, just tell us, yeah, Sylvanas burned the tree. We're going to fight N'Zoth. Like, just manage. I think they manage expectations really well with Legion. And then, honestly exceeded them in a lot of places. I mean, Argus was just incredible.
Yeah. And I think the thing is, it's kind of a great problem to have, but it's still a problem. Legion was good in so many ways. Like, even we're talking about cinematics. Do you remember how incredible it was to have the gift, refusal of the gift, the something of the gift with our good friend Illidan? Like, that story-wise, execution-wise, it was so amazing to see him. We're talking about switcheroos and subverting expectations. That thing with him, with Illidan, was so amazing, right? And that's a tough one to top, or even to manage to achieve again.
Yeah, so. I mean, that's what I've been talking about like all week with my WoW friends is just kind of the precedent that WoW has been setting for itself in the way it tells its stories. Basically since Warlords is kind of where I think it kicked off, because it's where we started getting a lot of those pre-rendered cutscenes. They obviously existed before, but we had a lot of them in Warlords, obviously had a ton of them in Legion, and we've had an insane amount of them in BFA. I mean, if nothing else, I mean, hell, just look at BFA, I think, set a pretty high bar for how it tells its story. And that, I think that's why there's such a large conversation surrounding how it ended its story this week.
Yeah, it's controversial to say the least. I haven't seen this kind of freak out in a while. So,
yeah. But I don't know. I just keep coming back around to, like, let's actually play the game. Let's not just watch the cinematic and yell about it.
That is actually a really good point, and I'm glad you said that, because at the end of the day, I may have been disappointed by the cinematic, but I mean, who are we kidding? We're not playing a game for a cinematic. We're playing the game.
Well, that's where I'm at right now. Like, my biggest frustration right now is that I don't have a raid team, because all of the controversy surrounding the cinematic is it made me dig more into the raid, and like, since LFR isn't out yet, I can't step into it. But now I'm seeing quite a bit of it, and it looks really good. Mm-hmm. I want to get in there and just play it.
Yeah, the raid looks great. Mechanically and sort of, I don't know, some of that stuff looks really rad. As always, it looks great. I mean, I kind of wish, the Raid Finder was out now. That'd be nice. Because
that's my spin. Is like, yeah, I agree with all the critiques. I think they could have done better. But my personal complaint is I wish I could play more of this. I wish I could run more Horrific Visions, because I'm really enjoying them.
Yeah, I guess all of our complaints are from people who are very superficially attached to the game.
Yeah.
Maybe they haven't
really played A3, so.
Yeah.
That's not my intention. I'm not trying to be like, you're not even nobody.
But you're right. Like, factually, we haven't actually played it. But I mean, I don't think it counts.
Like, you're still bought in. You're still WoW fans. I don't think it matters what type of WoW fan you are.
That's so true. Yeah. I mean, there have been times in this game where, like, I just look at the show's history, and at any given time, co-host or co-hosts aren't playing at all, and I'm hardcore. And then they'll be, you know, and I'm on a raid team. We're playing twice a week, like all that kind of stuff. And then they'll come, and that was like Cataclysm, for example. Toward the end of Cataclysm, man, I was all in all the time. We were raiding twice a week for 3 hours a night. I was playing every day, at least some. Like, it was, you know, there's different levels of hardcore, so I don't want to claim to be more hardcore than the guy that plays for 12 hours a day. That guy's weird.
Again, I don't think you need to
That's my whole point. That's entirely my whole point.
There's like, always going to be someone who's like more obscenely eye-bleeding hardcore than you.
Right,
like,
right. There's no way around it. I totally agree. Play what you want to play. Do what you want to do. Totally
be a fan the way you want to be a fan. Like, if right now you're just more interested in the story than actually playing the game, that is absolutely okay. And your criticism is valid. Let's have a conversation. Yeah. I think that's fine.
Hey, Katsumi says, does Garrett even play Horde? He's just trying to rally up.
Actually, I just spent my 120 boost on an alliance.
Oh my gosh! Garrett!
How dare I stick to my lifetime guns of playing both factions?
Yeah, how dare you enjoy the entire game and not just half of it? How dare you? How dare you get the full brunt of your monthly subscription by playing both sides?
I have friends on both sides, and I can't decide where I want to play or who I want to play with, so F it. Since Hazakostas is clearly hell-bent on never letting me play cross-faction,
Yeah, I've noticed that. Thanks a lot, Ian. We appreciate it.
Thanks, man.
So, we got some news about Classic. Let's get into that real quick. Upcoming WoW Classic Alterac Valley changes. This has also been somewhat controversial in the Classic space. Oh, by the way.
Yeah, let's move out of an extremely controversial subject into something that we can all just relax and have a nice, normal conversation about Alterac Valley and Classic.
So a couple of things. I want to give a good ending to a gnarly story. Last week, I was annoyed with an emailer who was just throwing me under the bus for being, in his words, you know, kind of dismissive of what some of the concerns are for some of the people who play Classic. And I kept referring, you know, saying I refer to people as Nostralis people and they can't be satisfied and blah, blah, blah. And I admit I was a little dismissive of that stuff. And also, I just don't have all the information. So I've got a couple of people who have reached out. One in particular I'm going to sit down with. We're going to have a talk. We're going to interview.
A Nostralis person?
No, just someone who really gets Classic, like is really invested in Classic. They have a show about nothing but Classic. I think it'll be a good story. I'm not saying names yet because I just want to make sure this all happens before I say. But once we do, we'll get the real skinny on what all these people think. We'll give a real voice to it. Also, the other part of the happy ending, that's the wrong term. Let's not say happy ending. The other part of the satisfactory outcome. Don't ever ask your massage therapist if they offer satisfactory outcomes. All right. Don't do it. Anyway, what if this other person, or the person that wrote the email last week, got back in touch with me and apologized for his tone? So we had a, we talked, and it's fine now. I just want to put that out there that, you know, even on the internet, even in 2020, y'all can just kind of hook up and talk and everything's okay. You can have disagreements and everything's fine. You can work it all out. So there's a little thing for you. Now we're just going to talk about Alturac Valley changes, and we're going to do it the most benign way possible, not taking any big sides here. Here's what it is. This is from the lips of Blizzard. Okay, Blizzard lips uttered these words. We've prepared a collection of improvements that we are going to make to Alturac Valley and WoW Classic over the next few days. Our goal is to make surgical adjustments that adjust some of the more prominent pain points and unfortunate behaviors without cracking open the substance of the battleground. As soon as possible, they're working on a hot fix that will go live soon that will make honoraries target, or sorry, honorless target unlootable, or targets unlootable. So if you didn't get honor, you can't loot them. This is intended to further discourage camping the starting caves as an efficient activity. With scheduled weekly maintenance, several concurrent adjustments should positively affect the initial state of each instance of Alturac Valley. Alturac Valley will now have parties up to 5 players to queue together. When a party queues together, they will be placed into the same battleground. There will no longer be a number in the name of the battleground in the join battle screen. We're fixing a setting that allowed the battleground to start with just as few as 20 players on the team. Okay, so little things here and there. These are things that change it from its vanilla state. So it is controversial in that way. But people are also complaining that it sucks and we want improvements. So now they're making improvements to it.
There was more than one version of Alturac Valley in vanilla, which is what we mentioned. We kind of got into that last week. And so that's it's still the thing. And I don't know. It's at this point, I'm like, I don't know, man. run a poll, WoW, and whatever version of Alturac Valley wins, just execute on that one.
Yeah,
there's none. The thing is, the only way you stop the that one is a way, I'm sure, but you're always going to have some people that are unhappy about something because now it's not going to be the real Alturac Valley. Mm-hmm. And I think that is also a valid, I don't know. It seems so contrary to the idea of Classic. Mm-hmm. And I understand that there is completely valid arguments to change it, but it just feels like I kind of want to say, yes, that's what we've been saying. Mm-hmm. When we were saying Classic is really harsh, mm-hmm. and that's not the kind of game, that's not the game you actually want to play. But when you say that, people are like, oh, shut up, you don't know. Like, we want just this one thing to be changed.
Yeah.
And I don't know. But then it's not Classic. Yeah, like that.
Then it's not Classic. All right. I agree.
What version of Alturac Valley is it? And like my understanding, and again, none of us are really like grinding AV in Classic right now.
No,
for that exact reason.
Hell no.
Well, yeah.
No, not that exact reason. But yeah, okay.
Right.
Like is that the exact reason you're not grinding AP, Patrick?
No, there's other reasons. There's other reasons.
But it's the philosophy of
right.
That's
my point.
Because Classic was rough. Right? Okay, sorry, never mind.
You also played hundreds of hours of it already. Go ahead, Garrett, sorry.
My understanding that one of the big popular hopes or wants is for it to go back to like an earlier version of Alturac Valley that existed in Classic where it went on forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what? I say let them have it. I think Blizzard's making a mistake.
Sure.
I don't think they should change it. I think that the reason that they change it is because
I don't think they're making a mistake at all, Scott. I think this is the right thing to do for the game.
Oh, I agree.
It's just not the original Classic that people wanted.
100% agree with you. And that's the problem. Blizzard's not a company that likes to have things just sitting around broken. And it's broken. And some players are like, yeah, like it used to be. Well, the whole point of a game like this was to put it out, to tweak it, to iterate, to fix, to change, to learn what you take what you learn and build the next thing and make it better next time. That's an MMO. So what people have asked for is the state of the MMO in its most broken basic form. Now, you could say a lot of the systems were cool, and I agree, they were, and they were awesome. I spent hundreds of hours in there. Like, there was a lot to love about Vanilla WoW. I think Blizzard should not change it. I think it should just be classic-ass classic, and you just leave it. And the only thing you worry about is server population management and making sure servers are up and running properly and that people can get their stuff done. But bugs that existed, you leave them. problems with Battlegrounds, you just freaking leave them. And that's hard for them because Blizzard doesn't like to make crap. They want to make good things.
I don't think any of this really addresses like which version of vanilla Alterac Valley do you serve up? Because that's where I, again, in my limited understanding,
that's the core of the issue. You're saying they don't want like a tweaked Alterac Valley. They want a specific version of Alterac Valley that was available.
Yeah, and I don't think that these really address that. That these changes here really help it become that more long form Alterac Valley that like the vanilla Alterac Valley of legend became.
At the end of the day, whatever. Okay, so has Blizzard ever said this is the patch we consider to be classic? Is that where is the game at a? Because I've never really actually looked or
it asked. Is at a point. I don't have it in front of me. I don't remember. We are at a certain point, and we're going to continue moving towards the further points, obviously, as we add raids and add major game additions.
Okay. So I guess what I'm saying is because it's always been a question as to what do they do next with Classic? Does it just stay in this form and that's all it ever is? Or do they add to it? Do they release expansions and basically just do a time capsule for everything that ever came out? Which I don't think they do that. They could.
I mean, we've talked about it before, right? I think if they do BC, I think it's its own thing because then you just run into the same issue of, well, some people want to stay in vanilla. You need to give them that experience. If they do a BC Classic, it needs to be its own server thing.
Right. I think that they could create a way. If they created a way to say, I would like to now go start a character in what was Wrath of the Lich King as a single state, right?
Bye, everybody. That's where I'm going.
That's where I'd go. I'm actually interested in that. I would actually go mess around with that.
That's where I would go for a very long time.
Yeah, you'd leave immediately and just head over there. And they had a very different kind of Alterac Valley, so the less controversial version of that thing. But anyway, the point is that...
Actually more similar to kind of how it's being played in Classic right now.
Yeah.
It's just kind of rush to kill the boss.
And in the chat, immediately somebody says, BC for me. Someone else is going to say, oh, Pandaria is where I started. I love that. Like, this is the problem. That,
like, about all, I think most people... I think most people who are nostalgic about this is either Classic or BC or Wrath. I don't think many people would ask for Cataclysm or... Pandaria, even maybe a little bit, but Pandaria you can go play now and it's roughly in the state that it was.
Yeah, that's so true. That's true. Yeah, you're right, because after pre-Cataclysm, that's when literally the Cataclysm
things
did
really change.
Yeah, it literally changed things, and so I personally like where it all went, but whatever, to each their own. The point is Blizzard really does need to kind of when you make changes like this, all this does is a whole bunch of Classic community, especially the most outspoken, kind of mean, angry, spirited ones, just get really pissed. And then what does that mean? They're going to all start their own private servers again? Like, I don't know what that means. I don't know what's going to happen.
Maybe the current population of Classic is going to be happy with those changes, and it's not going to be exactly Classic, but that doesn't really matter. They're just going to be happy with what they have. And it's just this one little tweak that needs to happen for people to be happy about it. Maybe that's what's going to be happening, and we're going to be in a perfect world.
Yeah, perfect world.
I'm not even joking. I think it's entirely possible that this is what's going to happen.
Yeah, it is possible. Imagine that. Like this, that's the fun of this. If you could create the state you want, like if Blizzard created the architecture, I'm not saying this is practical or even profitable. But it is possible to create a state of the game that you just want to go into. You go in and select a bunch of toggles and go, yeah, I'd like this to be patch 2.5, and I want to be this. I want this exact time. And then it just creates the game that was that for then for you. And now that doesn't mean there'll be millions of people to play with. That's kind of a problem because maybe nobody else likes that patch you're in or whatever. But I guess what I'm saying is there are ways for Blizzard to sort of virtualize all of this. It's like save states on a on an emulated NES game that never had save states.
I always like, that's the kind of stuff that in my head sounds really attractive and are things that I'm really interested in, but it's like Blizzard tends to shy away from that. Like, I don't, they even though like there's this sense that there's an insane amount of players of a lot of Blizzard games, I think they're concerned with over fragmentation.
Mm-hmm. No, of course. That would be something that is not something that would be doable. It's way too many versions to wait. No, it's not.
It's really hard to add something and then take it away if it doesn't work.
Right. Right.
So like if they add, if they suddenly spun up classic plus servers where it's like, here's classic with tweaks we want to make, we're actually going to change it. Come to check it out. Like, who knows what that does to the player base?
Yeah. Then you're really fragmenting.
And then if it does something bad to the player base, well, did more players go to that and there's not enough in like pure classic? Well, do you shut that down because it's just an unhealthy experience? It's a big, scary game.
Plus, you have to ask how granular do you go? Because even if it was like, okay, well, here you are in patch 3.1, but also I would like the 4 hot fixes that happened 2 weeks after that happened. You know, like how fine grain are we going to go on this thing? And I don't think that any of that's practical. But you're right, on paper, it sounds like fun. Doesn't it? A little bit. Mm-hmm. It's like mutators. Yeah. Like, wouldn't it be fun?
What do you even do? Do you do beginning of expansion patch? Like, do you forego the raids? Do you? It's
too much. Yeah, it's too much. It's absolutely too much.
You need, you would literally need 70 versions of World of Warcraft.
Yeah. I mean, part of the, I have a theory, and when I talk to this classic expert, we'll ask about this. But I have a theory that one of the reasons some people liked their private servers wasn't because there was an adherence to the true nature of Classic. In some cases, those servers would add weird stuff, like jumps were 3 times the height and it lowered gravity or whatever.
World of Warcraft Super Turbo Plus.
Yeah, basically they would mutate the game, and a lot of people like that. And that's a fun idea. Like, Blizzard does it with other games. They have all sorts of mutation options for Heroes and Heroes of the Storm and for Overwatch and stuff like that. So it's not that crazy of a thing to think that would be cool. But there's that whole group of people who would like to go back to doing that kind of stuff. So I don't know, man. Complicated, messy, kind of shitty thing to deal with. And I don't want to ever pretend to be an expert on this because I'm not playing Classic and have no desire to play it. But I do wonder, this stuff fascinates me. So from that angle, we'll keep sort of covering it as we do. And then when we have that interview, I'll let you guys know. All right. Hey, do you guys like hair? You guys are into hair, right? You like some hair?
I am extremely into hair.
Garrett has good hair right now. It's hiding right now, but you got that cool blonde thing in the front.
I just got it re-upped. I just didn't feel like doing my hair this morning.
Re-upped.
Re-upped on my bleach.
That's right. And Patrick always had nice coiffed French man hair. It's nice. It's always good.
Thank you.
Yeah, I like hair, although I have a hat on today, but hair's cool. I'd like to keep it. I was sure I was losing it because my father was bald. My mother's father, which is where it's supposed to come from, was totally bald. And yet I haven't lost my hair, and I don't know why.
Listen, some people might think that we're short on content on this episode. We're really not. It's just that we like to talk about stuff that has nothing to do with anything sometimes. That's really all it is.
This is on topic?
Yeah, it is. It is actually on topic.
I don't know how much Scott's dad's baldness is on top.
It doesn't have anything to do with anything. Except to say, we got data mined hairstyles coming to the undead. And let me tell you something. The worst hair in the game belongs to the undead. That will no longer be true after what I've seen here. These look great.
Dude.
Yeah. You see that, that lady hair with the I don't know how to describe it. I'll bring it up.
The side-swept mohawk?
Yeah. What do you think of that?
It's majestic. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, it's real good.
All of my tunes will be undead when these haircuts hit the game. The male undead are getting straight up the death lock from Misfits. Yep. It's wonderful.
Yep, that's a great way of putting it. There you go.
We're also getting Elvira for the ladies.
Oh, yeah, they're down in the middle there. The girl there's got the Elvira hair. The one we like the
most,
though,
is... It feels like all of them are somewhat, to an extent, 80s or 90s softcore metal band hair.
A little bit, yeah.
Softcore metal.
Yes, it's like metal, but not real metal.
Yeah,
it's like
I give it
metal
you.
Wannabe a little bit. Sure. Like the people who think they're metal because they have their hair kind of cool.
I would go with like horror punk, but sure.
Yeah,
the girl that did, Undead helps that.
There's also like rockabilly. There is the most insane pompadour I've ever seen in my life over on the male undead. That is like, wow. You just all the pomade was used.
Ridiculous. It looks like a horn. It's like a mud horn from Mandalorian.
It's a speed square from the profile. You could find a right angle with that.
I feel like this hair, this kind of blown female hair that looks like it's a mohawk but blown off to the side. Well, who sang for Garbage? Remember her name? What was her name? You guys remember Garbage? I'm only happy when it rains. Remember her? No? Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, it looks like that Garbage Daddy.
Yes. Googling it because it's on the tip of my tongue. Shirley Manson.
Shirley Manson. She had hair like that for a while. That reminds me of that. Anyway, it's neither here nor there. But this was data mined, so go check it out, and you can see these for yourselves. Wowhead had a good post about it, and these were shown initially at the Shadowlands BlizzCon panel, but now they're sort of confirmed. They look even better, and looks like they've tweaked a few of them, so there you have it. These are also coming for, there are more customization options coming for characters like Hidden Forsaken Bones and Wildhammer Dwarf Tattoos, and also Draenei Tails. So if your Draenei is boring and maybe he needs a good tail going on there, a customizable tail, none of them will look like a reverse penis.
Didn't make a get some tail joke. I'm proud of you, Scott.
It's all right. I went to penis. I went for the easiest low-hanging fruit. New year. New you, right? Well, it's also time of change for the LCS, the North America's official League of Legends Professional League. The 2020 season kicks off Saturday, January 25th at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on watch.lolesports.com. And there's never been a better time to become an LCS fan. You may be wondering if I've ever watched. Will I have the idea of what's going on? Will I figure it out? Don't worry. LCS hosts and casters will make sure you can follow all the action. This will be an exciting start as the latest game update, Rise of the Elements, introduces permanent map and buff changes to the players and for them to deal with. Plus, there's a truly a team for everybody to root for, right? That's always true. Maybe you want to see a classic like TSM rise again. Join Team Liquid to see if they can secure yet another championship title or lean into your darker desires with one of the newest teams, Evil Geniuses. So you ready for some League? Good. Because there's even more this season to enjoy with Monday Night League joining the schedule. This stuff's great. I love how LCS works. They do a really amazing job. And I know we got a lot of crossover fans who really dig their League of Legends play. So definitely be checking this out. Catch the game Saturday at 2 p.m. Pacific, or on Saturdays rather, 2 p.m. Pacific, Sundays at noon Pacific, and Monday night League at 5:30 p.m. Pacific on watch.lolsports.com, Twitch, or YouTube. That's watch.lolesports.com, twitch.tv/LCS, or youtube.com/LOL Esports for Saturday, Sunday, and Monday night league action. Thanks, LCS. Have fun. All right, we're going to talk about the rest of what's going on around Blizzard real quick in rapid fire style. Overwatch, not a lot at the moment, just sort of overwatching.
I mean, there's the Chinese New Year, and there are a few little patches coming. The big
Overwatch 2, right? Oh, but up, up, but up, up.
I mean, I want it too. I want Overwatch 2 now.
Hanging fruit.
Do we still have any kind of hope for the 2020 release, even though they said Blizzard, you know, Blizzard time or whatever they set up on stage?
Blizzard 2, not even Blizzard 2. No, but that was Diablo.
Well, that was Diablo, right?
They said that specifically. They said it's very early development for Diablo, for Overwatch 2. Who knows?
I would love a 2020 release.
God, that's it. God only. And I think even the people at Blizzard might not know. Oh. Maybe they do, but maybe they don't.
All right. Azoth. I get it. He's an old god. Hearthstone, how's that first wing, the dragon thing that dropped? How's that going there, Garrett? How's that?
It's okay.
Yeah,
I like dungeon. I think the two dungeon runs that they've done this standard year are vastly superior.
Mm.
But I understand the desire not to burn us out on that format.
Sure.
This is kind of a return to like Hearthstone's roots of solo adventures.
Sure.
And
that was my impression, but I didn't want to say because I didn't try it. It seems like a throwback to that stuff.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. There's some clever stuff going on, and certain encounters are really cool. Mm-hmm. There's a, if you play the good, because there's a, you can play the good side and the bad side, play good guys and bad guys. There's mm-hmm. like, for the one chapter, there's encounters for both the League of Evil and the League of Explorers. There's an encounter where you play as Khadgar, if you play as the League of Explorers, and it's incredible. Wow. Some of the cards that they've made for the Khadgar deck and the things you can do are just insane.
Big fan of the Shit Wizard. It's nice to see him back.
Yeah, I don't like Khadgar, but I like playing that Khadgar encounter. It's very fun.
I love Khadgar. I love him for the reasons you hate him or don't.
I was so like done with him by Legion. I was just so completely over dad joke Khadgar.
I want him to show up again and take us through our next. He was one of my favorite things in Legion, and that's going to be controversial because most people do not like him, but I like Khadgar.
I think there's like a 50-50 split. Because every time I talk smack about Khadgar, I get tweets of like, what are you talking about? He's the best.
Yeah. He's a shit wizard, and he's the best shit wizard the world has ever known. All right. Heroes of the Storm. I just wanted to give a grats out to Garrett and Kyle Ferguson for the shout out you guys got in their freaking patch notes. Nice job. This pretty much firms it up, everybody. If you wondered what was the premier best podcast for Heroes of the Storm, I think it's Into the Nexus. That's just now how it is. Because those guys,
what happened? Listened. I didn't see it.
Yeah, they put a.
They made a change to Arthas back in a November patch. They took away a talent that gave him a lot of range on Death Coil, and Kyle actually spent a lot of time on that episode talking about why that was a bad choice. Mm. And here we are, here we are 2 months later, and they reverted it. And in the dev comments, this is not a Photoshop. They wrote, sorry, Kyle and Garrett, we gave it back.
Yeah, we gave it back. Here, no, it says here, have it. You have it.
Oh,
back.
There you go.
Yeah, it's amazing. And what's most amazing is I think I found it before anyone else. I found this thing and I went.
You texted me. Yeah. You're like, look at the hero's notes. And I'm like, oh no, what is it? I thought it was like some dire news where they're like, this is the last patch for 6 months or something.
Yeah.
And I go to Twitter and you tagged me in it and you screen capped it. I'm like, oh, come on, Scott. This is a bad Photoshop. And I actually pulled up the notes on the website. I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah, it was for real.
Senpai noticed me.
I couldn't believe it. And I'm not. What's funny is I'm usually the last person to be finding the notes. But this time I saw their tweet and I went, oh, I'm interested in this patch. Let me look at it real quick. And boom, there it was. So anyway, congratulations on that, because that's pretty great. And also that
game. Go play Maiev, I think, is the big takeaway from this patch, because they made her easier to play.
Oh, that's good, because Maiev was not easy to play before, in my opinion.
No, no. I think the hardcores are going to be a little sad because they did take some of her damage away, but she's significantly more effective,
and probably more fun. Regular now. Probably more fun now too, is my guess. Yeah. I didn't find her that fun before. All right, well that pretty much does it for that. Let's do this.
Hear ye, hear ye!
Why, it's the town crier.
So we have town crier. I got a bunch here, but we're only going to do a couple. Given our time. But here is our first question or comment. This is from Dr. Strange. And by the way, I've started to take your questions not only via email, which we still do, and the phone number for voicemails, but there's also a link on the website now at theinstance.net/questions. And you can ask anything you want in there or give us comments, feedback, whatever. It might be easier for some people to just do that on the fly on their phone. Don't want to get into email, whatever. Whole bunch of you have been using it. Thank you very much for doing that. We got one from Dr. Strange on Gul'dan. He says this, hey, Instance Crew, thanks for maybe reading this on the air. I hope everyone is having a fantastic day so far. My question is, regarding a possible Warcraft movie sequel and whom we might cast as Arthas, my vote is Alexander Skarsgård. I've always felt Arthas's story is where the movie should have started anyway. Thanks for the maybe reading this and for the Horde, Doctor Strange on Gul'dan. Well, we did in fact read it, and also it's not a bad call. Put Skarsgård in some long, flowing blonde hair, you might have your Arthas. It's all right.
I am a fan of Alexander Skarsgård.
You know, do you ever watch True Blood, Patrick? No?
No.
Okay.
I'll just Google it.
About that show. He's the only thing that's good about that show, in my opinion. I hate that show.
I go to bat for a few other things, but Alexander Skarsgård is the reason to watch that show.
Suke. Suke. Hold on.
That is not the reason to watch it.
No, it's not. I hated that guy. Patrick, I'm going to tell you another thing he's in. He's all smoldery and tall and Scandinavian. He's just perfect.
Just look at shirtless photos of him from the Tarzan movie.
Gord. Fun anecdote. Gord means the farm.
Oh, well, that was a pumpkin. Swedish. Over here, we say if you have a gourd.
This is a sexy farm.
Uh-huh. It's a very sexy farm. By the way, he has an upcoming role in one of my most anticipated things, and that is the Stand TV series adaptation they're doing for Stephen King's The Stand, one of my favorite books of all time. And he's playing Randall Flagg. And if you know anything about that book, perfect casting. Perfect. Perfect. Anyway.
Yeah. I mean, it's obviously the tip of my brain because of recent Netflix shows, but Henry Cavill's pretty high up on my list.
Oh, yeah, I'd take Cavill.
He's built like a Warcraft human.
Yeah, he kind of is.
Yeah, but he acts like a mouse or something.
What?
Oh, you not a good actor. Come on. He's you can't fine. Blame him for DC scripts.
Yeah, the Superman movies were not his okay. fault. He's a good Superman.
I've only seen Superman stuff, but in the Witcher.
I love when you out yourself. I've only seen the worst movies in the last 10 years.
Okay, it's three movies, and he hasn't struck me as particularly great an actor. And there's a tiny chance that he actually listens to the show because he's a huge WoW player,
yeah.
And who knows, maybe. In which case, I'm sorry, Mr. Superman. I don't really mean what I'm saying. But if he doesn't, then I don't think he's that great an actor. And even his build, like he's superhuman muscly build would be a distraction for Arthas.
Did you see that Mission Impossible he was in last year before?
Yes.
He was great in that.
Great in that.
He actually was great. I don't think it was a very subtle role though.
No, not at all.
It's a Mission Impossible movie.
No, I know, but I've never seen him act. Am I alone in this?
Did you watch The Witcher? Have you seen The Witcher? He's okay in The Witcher. He's good.
He's good in The Witcher.
He grunts. All he does is grunt.
That's the character. That's
The Witcher.
I agree. Geralt
goes and says the F word. That's what he does.
Yeah.
Okay. It's true.
Also, frankly, we're talking again, about Arthas. Arthas is not the most subtle character in the world.
Yeah, that's disagree. True.
I think when he is falling to the influence of a Lich King, you have to display some really subtle conflict within your soul.
Mm.
I don't think it's an easy role to play Arthas well.
To
get back to Cavill, I'm just saying I've never seen him act well. And what you're saying, Garrett and Scott, is, yeah, but the roles didn't demand it. Okay, sure. But
okay, well, all right. Here, so I was mostly having fun ripping on the DC movies. I wanted to pull that thread and have fun with it.
Yeah.
I will say I have a serious serve up, and that's I think Cavill's chemistry in the role of Geralt with Yennefer was really good.
Yeah,
and I think good. That's a really important part of the beginning of his fall in Warcraft 3 is Arthas Jaina, that relationship.
Yeah, they could pull that off.
I think Cavill could carry that.
Yeah,
and he also does kind of the stoic thing really well.
Yeah,
in The Witcher, which is another portion of the Arthas pie.
Right. But also I would say we're never going to get this. I just want to put that out there.
Yes, that is true.
Not that I don't the mean Warcraft just him. Sequel. The sequel is never going to happen.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say never, but it's not going to happen in the next 10 years.
Really. I mean, if you hate fun conversation, sure. That's how we can end this.
I mean, yeah, you make a good point. I like discussing these things. But I don't know. I don't think that movie, people feel weird about it. Everybody, Blizzard included. Blizzard did not have a great time working on that.
I'm not going to bat for Henry Cavill. The dude has, I've really, really, really enjoyed him in The Witcher. It really
brought me around. It's also a nice guy. I like a nice guy.
I really like The Witcher. I think he was, I will amend my statement about Mr. Cavill, if you're listening, sir, I apologize. That's not someone you want to have on your bad side, by the way. He's built like a couple of trucks.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. I haven't seen anything from him that I think convinces me he can play a role that demands a lot of subtlety. But maybe he can,
I would like to point out in the Star Wars prequels, we had Ewan McGregor, Natalie Portman, and Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah, that's true.
These are all Great actors.
Amazing actors not doing subtle work at all in that thing. Yeah. So it's possible. I think it maybe could be a breakout thing for him. Sadly, I don't think it's ever going to happen. Mm-hmm. Chat room saying, somebody in here said, let's see, the C. Morris says, wait, I lost it. That has nothing to do with your physical stature. No, we're not saying that. We're saying that Hollywood likes a buff dude who can take his shirt off and make everybody swoon. So Cavill's got that part. And Garrett and I would argue he's got the acting chops. That's all.
I was ecstatic when I heard he was cast as Superman because I don't particularly, I didn't grow up with the old Superman movies. And all I ever thought growing up, you know, reading, because I would read, like, I loved, like, Kingdom Come and I love Alex Ross's depictions of Superman.
Yeah, really
so good. I always looked at all live action Superman movies as, why did they cast the skinniest, weakest looking human being as Superman for every Superman movie ever made? So when Cavill was cast, I'm like, oh, finally someone who did some push-ups.
Yeah. Yeah, I like him buffer too. A buffer Superman is my jam.
All the other Superman look like they're running around in pajamas and have eaten maybe three green beans in their entire life.
I think it's also about, it's also because a few years ago, we didn't have buff people who looked inhumanly buff. You know, like if you look at the 80s, the strong actors, like the action people were not, didn't look like that. And I think it's partly because now we know how to like do push-ups 2 minutes before you shoot that scene.
Mm-hmm. Scott, can you pull up the arm wrestle handshake from the beginning of Predator?
Oh,
a movie that came out in the 80s.
I love that thing. Arm wrestle.
I would really like to point out Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Well, you're taking the one example, like he's literally Mr. Universe. I don't think that's, you know, that qualifies for the entire.
And who's the other arm?
The other cast, man, like Jesse Ventura.
Who's the other guy? It's
God, he was just in the Mandalorian.
Apollo.
Apollo Creed.
Shit. Okay.
Why am I
Carl Weathers? Jeez,
Carl Weathers. Thank you so much. Yeah. I mean, that whole cast was just like. It was like we need 8 Henry Cavills. We know who he is from the future.
Okay, yeah.
But yeah, I'm just
well.
I still think
that they're so buff that it's distracting for like Henry Cavill is too. Like this isn't the same. This he's pulled up for people who are listening. He has the handshake. How did you? Call it the
yes.
thing.
Yes, they're arm wrestling while they're shaking hands.
Yeah, they're flexing.
Yeah, it's weirdly built people. It's not just incredibly strong, like muscly people. It's like iron pushers.
Oh,
right. I don't know. Anyway, this conversation really doesn't matter.
I want to know more about iron pushers. What are they called? What are they?
Pumping
about?
Iron pumpers. Oh. I think is what I was going.
Iron pumpers.
Yes,
those, the matter. They got you pushing too many pencils.
Yeah. Iron Pumpers sounds like an author who's trying to sell science fiction stories.
Pumping Iron is the title of Schwarzenegger's book, isn't
yeah.
it?
Or no, a documentary. It's a documentary. We saw it for, we watched it for FilmSack, and that is something else, man. People should watch Pumping Iron. It's weird.
What are you doing? Go get to the next email.
All right, final email I'm going to do today is this one from Miramachi CD. He says, I have only played up to level 20 to get a Hearthstone bonus. Every time I have thought about getting involved, I get overwhelmed and I don't know where to start. What can a brand new, almost never player start in World of Warcraft, especially if they are looking for a more solo play? Dude, straight up, start a new character, get to 20, and don't stop. Keep going.
Oh, yeah. Solo play? Just keep playing.
Yeah, just keep playing. You're there. You're
a leveling experience.
It's not that it's not like it's 20, suddenly you have a billion choices. You just keep going. Like, the choices are keep leveling. Like, go to the next zone, clear out the quests, get some stuff. And now's better time than ever because that stuff's not going to green or white out. It's going to stay relevant while you're there because it scales. And you can...
Yeah, there are obviously hyper efficient ways to level, but if you're mostly interested in solo play, I would say just keep going as things interest you. Just kind of find your own path.
I think it's happening, you guys. I'm feeling the itch to do this. I'm gonna go solo a bunch of shit. I'm gonna go start a low level something and play it. That's what
do
I'm
it
gonna
on Alliance. Do it on Alliance. Then we can flip flop together.
I don't know. chance.
Now you're asking a little bit too much of him.
Scott, if you haven't done the cool Tyrus Alliance leveling experience, it's really good.
I'm going to believe you, and I will raise you. I'll believe you and raise you. I don't know what that means.
Don't you start at level... Oh, you mean like the... Okay, sorry. I thought you meant as a cool Tyran allied race.
Just the experience.
I mean, if you haven't leveled through the Alliance side of BFA, it is very well done. Okay.
All right. But what if I want to go back to the beginning? What if I want to be in Stormwind for the first time as a lobby? Because I've never done that, except in the beta.
Well, clearly you're playing the game wrong, and I'm going to shame you. No, play the game how you want.
When I played the beta and the friends and family alpha stuff, I was all Alliance all the time. But when the game launched, it was like horde or die. And maybe we'll see. I'll let people know next week what I decided to do. One final comment from Sanctimus on Area 51. Says Party Sync is the most transcendent change to leveling since WoW's launch, including Cataclysm, and makes leveling the most fun part of the game now. That's a hell of a statement. So go out and try Party Sync, everybody. Available on all Ford models. 2020.
So wait, what does it do again?
it lets you... So Patrick, let's say you're level 5, and let's say I'm level 30.
105.
No, I have to do the math. So you and I get together... Oh, sure, 105. Let's say you're 105 and I'm level 40. There's a better example. You and I can meet in Pandaria and play together. Like level, you get appropriate gear. You get money that's appropriate for you at the level you're at. I get stuff that's appropriate for me.
It syncs you up. It takes the higher level player, brings them down to the lower level player, and lets it so they can do the quests with that player.
Right. It's stuff that Guild Wars has been doing for a long time. ESO does it. Like, it's not a new thing for a lot of MMOs.
It's like the one Tamriel kind of...
A bit like that.
Half measure type thing.
Yes. It's a little bit like that. It's not full one Tamriel, you know, change, but...
Yeah.
Speaking of which, they are doing some cool stuff with their new expansion. Anyway, let's move on.
I haven't tried Party Sync yet, so Scott, hit me up when you roll your new tune. I want to try it.
Yeah, it's very cool.
I've got alts for days.
Alts for days.
That are not max level, but are going to be higher level than a new character.
Yeah, I get that. Well, and plus it's all, you know, like I said, it's basically synced over there too. But yeah, that Skyrim stuff, the Dark Heart of Skyrim vampire stuff they're bringing out is really cool. Anyway, that's going to do it for the show. Thanks for all your emails, by the way. And this particular stuff came to us at theinstance.net/questions. So if you want to use that, that's great. If you'd rather email us, theinstance.net, that's fine. theinstance@gmail.com is what I meant to say. And if you want to send us voicemails, 801-471-0462, let's whip around the table and let people mention other stuff they're doing this week. Let's start with Patrick. Patrick, what's going on at frenchspin.com?
Listen. If you haven't listened to Pixels yet, then you should. It's a fun podcast about games in general, so not just World of Warcraft or any other Blizzard game, but all of them. We talk about the announcement that Sony is not going to be at E3 on the last one, Microsoft not doing exclusives for the Xbox Series X. There's a bunch of stuff there, and go check it out. It's Pixels, and it's on your podcast app.
Nice. Available now, frenchspin.com for details. Garrett, what is going on with you, sir?
Everything's at amove.tv. Go check out WoW Killer. Holidays are over. It's coming at you weekly now. Just put out a new Into the Nexus. It's a long one. We deconstruct the entire patch.
Patch notes... thanked and had tipped to Into the Nexus?
That's the one.
That really famous podcast?
I promise for an almost 2-hour episode, we don't spend that much time on that.
Oh, good. Oh, good. that's probably
and obviously Angry Chicken. Go check them all out. We like Hearthstone, Angry Chicken, Heroes, Into the Nexus, more World of Warcraft, WoW Killer.
Nice.
Go check it out.
All right. That sounds good to me. If you're looking for other cool stuff on the Frog Pants Network, you only need to go to frogpants.com and check it out. All kinds of great shows happening over there. Always something to be had, and my card game's about to launch, so check that out. That's linked on the same site. You can find it over there. It says Rock Runners right up top, and learn all about that. That's coming soon. What else? That's it. Theinstance.net is our website. Do go there as frequently as you'd like. You can get everything you need there. YouTube channel's back, so expect today's episode to be up there as well. And you can find us on Twitter, Instance Show, Scott Johnson, Garrett Art, not Patrick. More shows like this at Frog Pants, like I mentioned. That'll do it for us. For me, for Patrick, for Garrett, we'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.